Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Week in Digital Marketing So Far. It's Friday, May 8th, 2020. And before we get started, I'd really like to apologize for being gone for the past couple of weeks. I had a family emergency, and I wasn't able to make a video a couple weeks ago. And then I cut a video last week, and it was pretty terrible. It was pretty atrocious. And I didn't really think that I should do that to my subscribers. So I did not publish last week's video, but we're going to go ahead and make this week's video and get right back on track. With that, let's get started on YouTube like we do every other week. Over on YouTube. YouTube is bringing skippable ads to videos that have been casted onto a television. Right now, those ads are just normal ads. They aren't allowing the skippable ones, but those are going to be coming soon. So if you're a YouTube advertiser, look for that new feature coming in the very near future. YouTube is going to start allowing news publishers to integrate a way to get subscribers on their news service from their YouTube channel. And if you're not aware right now in Google News, having a subscription gate, a subscriber gate on your content is actually a positive thing for the Google News algorithm. So it looks like Google is taking things a step further in their attempt to help publishers get new subscribers, and they're going to introduce at least one feature on YouTube that allows them to integrate that with their channel. Now let's dive into Google. Speaking of Google, Google Search confirmed a broad core update that started rolling out at the beginning of this week. So far, it looks like it is a pretty major update. There are lots of shifts and changes happening in search results and in the rankings that people see inside of their reports. If you rely on Google for your traffic, which a lot of us do, you might want to go check your analytics and your Google Search Console and just see how you're faring during this update. Google has started suggesting new searches personalized on a user's past search history. For example, if you typed in Google Home into the Google search box, and then you immediately typed in wireless headphones, Google may suggest that you try a search like wireless headphones for the Google Assistant or wireless headphones with the Google Assistant, because they assume that you're looking for a product that maybe blends those two features that you've typed into Google recently. This is a test, it looks like. I don't have it. So some people appear to have access to this and they're getting these personalized searches. Some are not. Google Smart Shopping is testing a new conversion type for new customer acquisition. And that's exactly what they call it, is NCA, or new customer acquisition. Think with Google has a new tool called Rising Retail Searches. The idea is to show new retail products or products that are trending upward at the current point in time, and to help people position themselves to be more successful with e-commerce. You can check that out. It's thinkwithgoogle.com. Google Search Console is rolling out a new feature to display data about the special announcement schema markup, which was originally created for the COVID-19 pandemic. Google's webmaster team has warned websites to not remove the HTTP version of their website from Google's search results, because if that has been canonicalized to the HTTPS, or the secure version of those websites, it will remove both versions out of there. So do not go in and tell tools to pull out your HTTP version, because you will essentially remove your entire website from Google. That's probably not something you want to do. In Facebook news, Facebook has added a way for consumers to purchase gift cards to local businesses in their COVID-19 help hub. I actually went and checked in on this, and I did not see a way to request that Facebook allow consumers to buy specifically your gift cards. I'm not entirely sure how they're getting this information or how they're pulling it off, but you may go check it out. Perhaps they've added a form or something where you can apply as a small business to be part of this temporary program. In a really interesting twist, Facebook just built a brand new chatbot, but unlike other chatbots, this one has been trained on 1.5 billion Reddit conversations. And Facebook's engineers say that nearly 50%, so just under 50% of people who tested the chatbot actually preferred talking to this chatbot than to other people. It appears a Facebook SDK issue took down Spotify, Tinder, TikTok, Grubhub, and other websites that rely on the Facebook login, other apps that rely on the Facebook login earlier this week. It was only for a few hours. Everything got fixed and it's back up. But if you see a blip in your ads or in your usage of one of those platforms, that's probably why. Over on Pinterest, Pinterest has announced a couple of new features for their pin boards. One is called Notes, which allows you to add notes about what your pin board is about. And the other is Dates, which allows you to put dates on your pin board just in case you're making something for a temporary time frame or other people's temporary time frame so they can look to see the dates on your pin board. Pinterest and Shopify have teamed up so that Shopify store owners can now easily import their products into Pinterest and get them displayed in front of all of the people who use Pinterest to find products. Here we go to LinkedIn. LinkedIn made an SEO fail and appears to have accidentally removed their entire website from Google. Now, some people speculated that LinkedIn removed their website by doing the very thing that Google just said not to do, which is remove the HTTP version of your website inside of Search Console. But my friend Lauren Baker actually found that in their robots.txt, LinkedIn blocked search engines from crawling them and probably sent a very strong signal to Google to pull all of those pages out. This actually happens pretty frequently. It happened recently to Patreon, and it's happened to other companies when you take something off of a staging server and you release it live. Typically, the staging server has a robots.txt that blocks all bots from crawling it, but they don't get that robots.txt updated on the live server. This is why SEOs should always be involved in the launch of a new website or an update to an app that faces the public or faces search engines like that, so they can sign off on the robots.txt post live and also sign off on what you're doing before you take it live. LinkedIn is working on a video introduction feature to help job candidates who are doing virtual job interviews make a better first impression before they even get to the interview stage. And it sounds like this will be useful even after COVID-19, when we maybe start going back to in-person interviews and stuff like that. Over on Twitter. Twitter is testing a new design layout on the web and inside of the iOS app. So if you see this, don't freak out. It's not broken. Those threaded lines in the conversations are now going to start having indentions so that it's a little easier to tell where the threaded conversation is from one tweet and going down versus all of them kind of connecting and being together. Bonus round! Yelp is going to start allowing businesses to list virtual service offerings on their Yelp profile. Now, there's no word if this is going to be a feature you have to pay for, like pretty much everything on Yelp aside from the basic standard profile, or if it's going to be something they actually integrate into the basic standard profile. But if you're a physical business with an actual physical presence, but you offer a virtual service, like, say, a therapist that does online therapy anywhere in the country, but is actually based in Dallas, Texas, or a doctor who does telehealth from California to New York out of their office in Colorado, this would be a pretty neat thing to be able to add to your Yelp profile. Shopify has launched a brand new POS system. And a brand new POS system is designed to integrate the point of sale inside of a retail store and the online sales from the Shopify-based website to make it easier to track inventory and keep up with your retail customers in an omni-channel environment. If you are a Shopify store with a physical brick and mortar presence, you're probably reeling on the physical brick and mortar presence right now, but you're looking at the Shopify, the online portion, as probably a success. Maybe you're getting some better revenue through that right now, some increased sales through that as your customers go online. After the pandemic, it's very possible that people are going to start blending how they interact with retail. A POS system like this, not necessarily maybe this one, but one like this is probably something you should be working towards attaining in the very near future so that you can keep up with the way the consumers are interacting with retail, either at the brick and mortar level or the online web level. That's it for the Weekend Digital Marketing So Far podcast edition. Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast and subscribing and listening with whatever platform you are tuning in from. Really appreciate it. If you go to the website, joeyoungblood.com, and send any comments, any love, any hate that you might have, any way to improve this podcast experience for you. Also, just in case you're listening to fewer podcasts right now or in the future, you may want to sign up for the email newsletter, All the Latest in Digital Marketing. It's a weekly written recap of all the changes that happened in digital marketing. You could sign up for that at allthelatest.net. I'll talk to you next week.